Joe just broke his mic again. Welcome in, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN.
Like, as soon as we got on the air, the thing fell off.
Yeah. What's going on over there?
I don't know. I don't want to...
You were just saying how you were ripe and ready to go.
And I am. I don't want to blame...
It doesn't look like that from my vantage point.
I don't want to blame Susan Rose, but she was the last person on this mic.
Oh, come on. How low can you go?
I know. I'm sorry.
Is the show on over there? Did Susan hear that? Because that's unbelievable how you would blame her for breaking your own mic. Crazy. Now you're having somebody else switch a new one on for you. Anyways.
This one's broken.
Happy Tuesday goes out to everybody. we were talking a little bit yesterday. We'll continue the conversation today. And you can let us know. 803-0930. I am like super curious now into how... people are doing their Thanksgiving dinner, and specifically how many people go out or utilize restaurants as part of their Thanksgiving dinner. Like, is Thanksgiving to you going out to eat at a restaurant or doing a Thanksgiving dinner but not cooking anything and just ordering all of it? Like, now I'm super interested in how this looks and how popular it is. And it started, we were talking about it a little bit yesterday, Joe, and then I saw... Facebook, a local restaurant around the corner from me, it's like a pizza place, pizza and subs, post, we will be open Thanksgiving Thursday from, I think they said, like 11 to 2 for lunch. And I don't know why that just struck me as like, huh? Like, it just seems so weird to me that somebody would order a pizza for lunch on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who's stopping and getting a big turkey sub for lunch ahead of the Thanksgiving meal?
Usually Thanksgiving lunch is very light, right? It's, you know, maybe some appetizers.
It's non-existent.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had like a lunch on Thanksgiving.
My in-laws like to put like a cheese tray out. There's stuff, you know, sitting around on the counter. Growing up, we always had a big breakfast. And then you didn't have lunch, and then you had, you know, your Thanksgiving dinner. So, I mean, obviously the business is there, right? Unless this is the first year they're attempting it. The business is there, and, you know, there are people, maybe they run the turkey trot. They're like, Brian, I can't wait till 6. I'm getting myself a chicken finger sub and holding myself, which sounds very heavy before Thanksgiving dinner. But you just never know. Obviously the business is there.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, from what I can remember, was always just like, yeah, you'll eat later.
Yeah. Yeah,
just
wait for Santa.
There's a Pop-Tart in the cupboard, and you know, figure it out.
Yeah,
but that's I am a very, very interested in it. After I've seen this more and more, restaurant. Are you going out for lunch on Thanksgiving? Are you ordering everything for Thanksgiving dinner? What does it look like for you? 803-0930. You can give us a call or text us this morning.
You know, no offense to the place. I'm sure you know the places that are. Baking the dinners for, you know, people can pick up. I'm sure they're delicious. There is a place that has now moved to Clarence. It used to be on Transit in Maine. And I know one year my parents got the turkey from there, and it was very good. Don't get me wrong. Very good.
So you've done it before?
Well, I didn't go to that dinner. I went there for dessert. We go to my parents now for dessert. So my parents have done it.
So they ordered the whole turkey?
No, just the turkey. Yeah, it was a smoked turkey. They ordered it. And then
uncarved or all sliced up?
You'll have to ask them. I'm sorry. I should have done this research before the show.
I mean, that's, yeah. I don't know. To me, it's, you could say, oh, you know, there's something about the home-cooked meal. There's one thing about a home-cooked meal. It's hot and crispy and ready to go. Like, that's the thing. Takeout, to me, is just never as good as fresh out of the oven.
Yes.
You know when I eat most of my turkey, depending on where you are, certainly if I'm hosting Thanksgiving, and depending on, you know, what family member, I eat most of my turkey before everyone sits down, scraps off the plate as it's being carved.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That is when it's good, nice, hot, and ready.
Now, I really know I don't have a leg to stand on because I don't make Thanksgiving dinner. I've never made Thanksgiving dinner. But there is something about the homemade, the smell in the kitchen all day, right, of all the sides and the turkey and everything filling the air. I love that. And for 34 of 35 years, I have had homemade Thanksgiving dinner. Yes, even when I was 2 months old, I had Thanksgiving homemade dinner. 1 year, I had Thanksgiving dinner out, Brian, and it changed my perspective because I thought, well, you know, maybe some people trickle into these places. We were on our way to a Virginia Tech game. Did I say this on the air or off the air yesterday?
I can't remember.
If I'm repeating myself, I apologize. I think it was off the air. And we were in Altoona, Pennsylvania, 90-minute wait, for the table, hour wait for the food after being at the table. I didn't realize how many people actually leave their house, not to go to someone else's house, to go to a restaurant on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me as much as the like ordering the full meal and bringing it to your house. Because I can see people wanting to go out, not wanting to deal with any of it. You go out for a restaurant, and there's not that many open
right.
for dinner. So the ones that are going to be packed. I just kind of think that. This one, text rolling into the board, is interesting. I didn't think about this. Someone said, had our Thanksgiving on Sunday. Was thinking of pizza for Thursday. So if you are doing Thanksgiving at a different time with family, you know, different plans, or people are in town only for a certain few days, all right, like now that makes sense. Get a pizza. Watch the football games.
Have you ever done that? Now, I have had a second Thanksgiving dinner, over the weekend. But have you ever not had Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving?
I'm sure with that. It's all confused. I've had three or four different Thanksgiving dinners, like, every single year. It's a mess. Every holiday. You know,
sounds
it's
great.
No. It's the holidays are always a mess. And it's I'm sure there's been years where on Thanksgiving it's, you know, gone by without too much fanfare, and then there's like two or three more to get in by the next week or something like that. It's always a hectic time. I have a hypothetical. This is a totally off topic, but
that's
we'll
fine.
You know, get back on track here. I have a hypothetical for you because we were talking about this a little bit yesterday too. The Bills making the playoffs tough.
Well, you should have heard what Howard Simon said to me today.
What
he said: 10-7 is making the playoffs.
Oh. Does Howard pick the games on the ESPN? So, the thing about that is, where we said this yesterday, before you go through everyone's schedule and like pick the games out, that makes sense. You look at all the injuries on all the other teams, like how many teams are in it that just don't strike you as being that good.
Right.
You could say like, oh, like we're in a good spot. When you look at everyone's schedule and how easy it is compared to the Bills, that's when it's like, oh, the Bills might need to win every single game,
and
they have the hardest schedule to, you know, do. They can maybe afford a loss if they want to make the playoffs.
His reasoning was, since the expanded 18-week, 17-game schedule, 10-7 has always made the playoffs. I said, well, not this year.
Yeah, like that, but it might not be the case this year. Like, I have, let's see, if I pick it right now, the Bills, 10-7 would not be in the playoffs. 11 wins squeak you into the playoffs at the seventh seed. But here's the hypothetical.
Okay.
Would you rather, because, you know, I've been playing around with this for, and there's a million different possibilities. Would you rather miss the playoffs, but you beat the Dolphins the last week? So maybe you lose this week, and then you win the rest of your games and you beat the Dolphins, but you miss out on the playoffs.
Oh, missing with 11 wins.
Or make the playoffs, you win this week, you win the rest of your games, except you lose that last game of the season to Miami, and then you lose to the Dolphins in the first week of the playoffs, too.
Yeah, I'd rather the second. Any scenario in the playoffs, I'd rather.
Really?
Like, I'm not that spoiled.
You're signing up for it right now. Like, you know the outcome at the end of the day.
Yep.
You're either missing the playoffs, you beat the Dolphins at the end, or you make the playoffs, but you know exactly what's going to happen. You're going to lose that first playoff game to Miami. You're going to lose 2 weeks in a row to Miami. You'd rather do that?
Do the Bills beating the Dolphins in your scenario here do anything to their positioning in the playoffs?
The whole scenario is you beat the Dolphins, you miss the playoffs.
The Dolphins' positioning. Do the Dolphins
Doesn't
suffer?
Matter. No.
So to me, that matters. If they don't suffer, so we're going to beat Mike White and all their backups, and say, "Hey, the Bills."
Well, they'd be playing for maybe they were playing for, I don't know, the top overall seed.
Yeah, no, I don't like that scenario at all.
Really?
Yeah,
you'd sign up for two straight losses to the Dolphins. You just want to be in the playoffs just to say you were there.
Anything happens when you get to the playoffs?
No, not in this scenario. No, there's no anything happens. What happens is you lose to the Dolphins. It's a black and white scenario I'm giving you.
Yes, I will take two losses to the Dolphins rather than just one win that probably doesn't mean anything.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I sign me up for beating the Dolphins every day. So then you got you're bounced from the playoffs.
Yes.
It's a failure of a season either way.
Yes.
You don't win a playoff game.
Right.
And then in this failure, the Dolphins beat you twice, and they're hanging that over your head the whole year.
How much have we been hanging it over their head this year?
All the time. I see it everywhere.
I hear more people talking about beating them 48-20 than back-to-back against their third-string quarterback last year.
Salty, salty Dolphins fans are all over. They want to beat the Bills so bad, and they haven't since the beginning of last year, which was their Week 3 Super Bowl. I just would not sign up for, one, losing to the Dolphins twice. I hate the Dolphins.
So do I.
Two, what's the point of going to the playoffs if you're just going to be out of there?
Yeah, I think of that scenario, again.
I'd rather have my Saturday afternoon back or whatever. Nah. I'm doing.
Is it a home game against the Dolphins?
Doesn't matter, you lose. If you get to go to experience the loss in person?
Had to last year.
you go and like it? I don't know. I guess it is a good hypothetical because you went the way that I wouldn't think. I thought there was a clear answer to that one. But
no, because I think of when, who was it? Was it Tyrod or was it Kyle Orton beat the Patriots? But, Tom Brady went out for one drive. That's what I have to hold on to for the offseason.
Did you, really quickly, too, you didn't see it because you were at the game, but on the broadcast, that interception that Jordan Poyer had that was called back?
Yeah.
The way that everybody, Nance and Romo talked about it, and then they brought in their, the rules person. Oh, my goodness. Just this whole thing. I hate it. And the way that all of them instantly were like, yeah, that's not going to stand. That's not a catch. I mean, you saw the play.
Yes.
On the Jumbotron. I mean, that people will chime in and look at that play and just say, yep, not a catch. The sport is stupid. This whole sport is like broken. It's dead. Like, it's amazing that we all watch this game every day because it's so stupid.
Like you said, the play last night, the commentators couldn't even get too excited because there was a flag on the field. And that seems like that happens every week.
And the other one, I didn't notice this until yesterday. Someone posted a clip of Josh Allen saying, I'm back in a more colorful way.
Yes.
He got a haircut. He cut the long, shaggy hair. He's finally back to the... It's not really high and tight, but it's high.
Did he think he
haircut.
Was...
Haircut and an attitude, as a famous, handsome Dick Manitoba once said, that'll get you far in life.
I mean, did he think that he was going to be like the Tom Brady long hair era? Is that why he...
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. But he cut his hair, and we won, so...
Keep winning.
It's a big thing.
That's all it's about.
It's the haircut.
Yeah.
Haircut and attitude. Anyways, all right. Back to the matters at hand. Sorry for the little diversion.
But yeah, I would take the back-to-back losses. I know that's not the popular answer.
You would take
answer.
Just being a loser.
I think you're more of a loser if you don't go to the playoffs.
You're a loser either way. But at one, at least you beat the Dolphins.
But you're less of a loser. But again, a Dolphins team that is already in the playoffs.
Yeah, either way. Either way, the Dolphins are in the playoffs.
But beating a Dolphins team that's already in the playoffs and you getting nothing out of it, to me, that...
You get something out of it. You beat the Dolphins.
Like I said, it's beating the Patriots when they had already clinched things at the end of the season. Hey,
no, it's continuing. You can't let them have one on you. Can't let them have one on you. We're at what? Three straight over them? You got to keep it rolling. Anyways, we are going back to what you're doing. So two things. There's the holiday meal we've been talking about. How many people are going out to a restaurant or somewhere and getting your holiday meal pre-prepared? I'm very interested in that. Because a lot of places offer packages. It's like a whole thing.
Yep.
So there must be a lot of people out there. How does it go for it? When did that start? Why do you do it? Let us know, 803-0930. And then the second one that we were talking about this morning, Joe. Hanging the holiday lights and paying somebody to do it.
Mm.
Now, you said you've been seeing the signs all over the place.
I've seen them since August. Like at the corners of streets. I think there's one at Main and Transit. I have seen these signs all over town starting in August.
I haven't seen one yet. It was a new concept to me, but both you and Susan brought up the signs, and then we heard the report this morning. I'm At first, initial reaction, I'm like, I can't believe someone would pay. Like, I would rather just not hang any lights on my house instead of paying someone to come and do it. And then I'm like, wait a second. Why am I surprised? You see it every year. These houses that look like something out of a postcard or a Hallmark movie or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, of course this is like being professionally done. The lights are spaced like perfect. It looks more like the Boulevard Square around the corner than it does, you know, when I string up the lights. Now, when I string up the lights, I'm not going all the way to the top of the house because I don't want to get up on a ladder and do all that stuff. No, no way. We do it around the porch. It's nice. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than nothing. It looks fine. It's nothing special. It's fine. I don't think I would pay somebody to hang the lights up for me.
Yeah, me either. I think part of the fun is decorating.
No. But it's not. For you, it is.
Yes.
It's impossible to have this conversation with you.
Like we have,
you're a Christmas freak.
We had one last thing we had to put up yesterday, and it was the garland above the kitchen. I told you, I previewed that this was happening. I have the music going in the background. Oh, I love it. I think decorating is part of the holidays. You know, growing up, the tree, you decorate it. You
put there's a line here.
Ornaments
we're
on.
Not talking about decorating.
No, but once I own a house.
You can be Martha Stewart inside.
Once I own a house, I will take that love for it, bring the radio outside, and have the same spirit putting the lights up.
You say that. Stringing the lights is a lot different than decorating the house.
I loop lights on my patio, okay?
Is it worth it? I guess that's the question out there. 803-0930, is it worth it? Would you have somebody out there? I put the lights out. It's nice. My son loves the, you know, decorating. He'll ask, why is everyone's lights not out?
Great question.
You know what? People don't feel like it. And you know what? Those people who don't feel like it, I'm right there with you. You know what I never feel like doing? Going outside in the cold, pushing a bunch of thumbtacks into the wood of the porch, stringing a bunch of lights, making it look all jolly. I'm never in the mood for it.
So what is the point of the professional? Because, again, I do think having everyone out there putting the lights up, I think that's the part of the fun. If you're trying to get on a magazine cover, if you're trying, I don't know, maybe Channel 4 is going to leave people's bills basements and go to houses. If that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to attract the pictures, okay, fine. But, I mean, paying to have...
No, again, I think it... Joe, again, it's not fun. that's not... Yeah.
Again, if it's some... I'm very much of the mindset if it's something I can do, most likely I'm not going to pay for it, right? I mean, that's just...
So, that's the thing. Like, what... Is it worth it? 803-0930, you can let us know. Have you seen the signs, and would you ever consider it? B-Manson Beamer on WBEN. Okay, Joe, we got one set of figures. Now, this is just one person, one of our listeners, out on the streets, doing their due diligence, reporting for us.
Yes, thank
you. But we got one person with coming back at us with how much it costs, right? We were talking about stringing up your holiday lights. All the big Santas, the Christmas, decorations, everything that goes on outside your house. And apparently, I don't see many of these signs around my neighborhood. Maybe that's saying something. But the people will advertise to put your lights on your house for you.
Yes.
Pay them to put your lights on. You don't have to go out and do it yourself. Somebody just texted in to our text board, 803-0930. Have you ever done this? Would you ever do this? What do you think about this? 803-0930. You can give us a call this morning. Somebody texted us saying that they called some company. The estimate included home, roof, and attached garage lights, bushes along the front of the house. The first year, they said, was $3,000. $2,000 for the commercial light purchase, $1,000 for installation. They put up, take down, and store your lights, $1,000 a year subscription after that initial startup. Woo!
1,000 a year to have someone throwing.
Now, again, this is just one person. You can confirm or deny if you know of a different price around town.
But I've seen different signs. Like, it's not just one type of sign. But, you know, you think about that. I think it's ridiculous, right? Because I have a place to store lights, right? And I think I'm able to put the lights up, again, if I owned a house. But for $1,000, Brian, they are storing your lights and putting them back up next year. You know what I mean? Like, you're paying for the lights originally, which I'd love to know where these $2,000 lights are. Because I do a lot of walking through the Christmas sections. And, you know, a box of lights, 25, maybe 20 bucks.
Where are you buying your lights?
Target.
That's money bags over here. $25. No way.
Again, I'm not buying lights.
I was gonna say all my lights are maybe $5 a strand, and they go up on the house. Like, that's my total light investment. If I'm like thinking of it right now, I'm trying to add up all my outdoor decorations and what everything costs at the end of the day. It's probably around $40.
There it is.
I have all lights, got little things hanging in the window, you know, like all that kind of stuff. There's no big blow up thing. We're not like a crazy house, but they're the LED lights. You can see them from wherever. My son's happy with them, although he does now want Santa to sit on the rocking chair on the porch, and I have to tell him that's not going to happen. But all of that for under 40. So when I hear $1,000 a year, that's a little more than I'm willing to spend, a little rich for my blood, on Christmas decorations.
$2,000 for the lights. And again, like, I'm just thinking, where are you spending that $2,000?
Well, so here's the thing. So you see the houses, and this is why I had to, like, double take myself, where it's like, oh, obviously people are doing this. Because you see some of these houses with lights on that you're like, you don't buy that at the store. Like, that's not coming from the same Dollar Tree that I'm shopping at.
Right.
Like, that's, you've got a different light guy. These are not the regularly available. And this person did say they are commercial lights.
Yeah.
Like, they're bigger, perfectly spaced on the house.
Like you said, it's the lights at the mall. It's the lights at the Boulevard Plaza.
Like that kind of, like, perfect look on the house that it is a little bit different than what I buy. $1,000, though, is, I mean, come on. You buy a couch with that type of money for Christmas lights.
Yeah, I have 3 strands of lights, right? Because our tree's pre-lit, the garland's pre-lit, and we have some lights around the apartment, and we have the one for the patio. I'm thinking, Brian, of going a little beyond and having a blow-up Santa on the patio this year.
Why?
No? Why not? People can see it.
You're waving to Santa along...
I want to do as much as possible, and I feel my patio is a little bare.
See, that's why it's tough to have this conversation with you, because on the text board, someone else saying, decorating bores me to death, and then someone else, consider people out there who still want the look but aren't handy. I don't think you have to be that handy to string up lights. It's not the craziest thing in the world. Now, I'm saying that I have, like, areas of the house where I can... kind of, they're easily accessible, and you can, you know, wrap them around some posts and throw them up there. I'm not getting on a ladder or anything and installing the clips. I actually bought the clips the first year we were going to put lights on the house. I bought the clips for the gutter that you're supposed to, you know, use. You clip them on the end and then you slide the lights in there. Never opened the box. I brought them home. I have the lights, and I'm looking like, all right, where am I going to hang these puppies? And I'm looking around the house. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting out the ladder. And they can go right over here where I can reach.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. The first Christmas I own a home, Brian, just get ready. I think people will be surprised how much I can do.
You'll go the whole year. Nothing will be fixed.
Yeah.
But you'll have, like, the amazing light display, and everyone will be like, why is the roof leaking?
Right. You'll come over like, hey, you can't use the downstairs bathroom.
Sorry. This toilet's clogged, and I don't know what to do about it. But check out the light display.
That's right.
It's better than anything you've seen before, and it's all me. All me.
Now, this is a little off topic, but thinking of light displays, if you lived in the town of, I'm going to screw this up, Utka Give... Alaska, used to be known as Barrow, Alaska. I think you'd have to have your Christmas lights up by now, because 2 days ago, the sun set in the 5 o'clock hour and will not rise again until January 28th.
Yeah.
That is crazy to me. Like, I think it's gloomy outside right now to think the sun's not going to shine at all until January. You got to have Christmas lights up in this town.
You got a whole month of light on the other side of that, too, though.
That's true. But, like, around the holiday time, you've got 66 days. This is when your Christmas lights are up until January 28th.
Which would be more annoying? Total darkness or never getting dark?
Total darkness. You have blackout curtains. You have ways to make make it seem that it's dark.
Yeah, you could still fall asleep when it's all light outside.
I mean, can you just imagine though? Like it's noon. It's just completely night dark outside.
I can't wait until your perception changes on all of this, because like right now, like talking to you, like it can't. You're all giddy about. You're saying you're going to throw lights everywhere. Your house is going to be seen from the space station. Like you've got all this going up. Like throwing the lights up, it's a chore.
Yeah, I mean, I also probably won't have a house till I'm 40.
It's so. Not like I mean, this person who texts in, what is it about the strings of small lights? You put them away, nice and neat. They don't get touched for an entire year. You pull them out of the bag, and it's tangled. They're not working. Like, there's a million problems with it. How does it happen? I actually avoided that somewhat. For some reason, my lights this year, I do it the same way every time. I always run into that problem. They did not give me fits. I was able to kind of unwind them without them getting all tangled for the first year of my entire life.
So,
but you deal with all that. You got to lug up the boxes from the basement, and then you're out in the cold. You're trying to wrap them around. You're doing all these kind of things. Maybe you're up on the ladder doing it. Like, that is why people would pay for somebody else to get it out of their hands.
By the way, for the lights, you have to get one of those wheels like you have the hose, and that's how you wrap up the lights at the end of the year, and then they're perfectly, you just unwind them next holiday season. Just a little advice.
Put the whole thing on one. See, that's the other thing. Mine is, I've got lights going 15 different directions.
Right, well, you would need, and I'm not talking about one as big as your hose is on, but like just a little like cardboard spool. All it has to be, and just wrap it around.
Oh, yeah,
there.
We do that.
Yeah.
They get tangled.
See, I've not had the tangle issue.
They get tangled every single year.
But lugging stuff up, that's not exclusive to homeowners. My garage is across the parking lot, and we have to get our bins. And Brian, you might find this surprising. We have a lot of bins for Christmas, and we had to lug those up the stairs and the tree and everything up the stairs. So I know all about doing that. Like I said, I think you put the Christmas music on, and you make it fun. You get some hot chocolate, you get some Christmas cookies, and you make it a fun event.
You're just living in a Hallmark movie. Now, how do you? You said you got the pre-lit tree.
Yes.
How is it? Is it easy to put up?
It's easy.
Or do you have to do all the junk you have to do all the time?
It's easy to put up. It's three pieces, right? And I think it's a pretty big tree. Here's my problem with the pre-lit tree. I think I've gotten my money out of it. So this is not a complaint. It's not a problem. I'm sorry. This is the last year of the pre-lit tree.
Really? Why?
Because the lights are starting to really get tangled and not be as perfect as they were the first year, obviously.
How do they get tangled on it? Aren't they just like on the branches?
It's a string of lights on the branches.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You should.
If I just left my lights on, it would be the same thing?
Well, no, these are more tight and they are clipped to the tree. Okay. It's tough to explain. But after after this year, it is time for a new pre-lit tree. I don't think it lasts as long as a other artificial tree.
Because I say every single year after Christmas, I'm saying, I'm going to get one of those pre-lit trees so I don't have to deal with stringing the lights all over. The lights are always getting busted. It never looks right. You know, you do all this, and that's after putting the tree up. I'm spreading the branches out. You know, that whole process takes forever. And I always say I'm going to get a pre-lit tree, but then I don't want to spend $100.
I think there are better pre-lit trees where like the lights are actually in the branches.
I assumed all of them were.
Yeah, we got a really good deal on this one. It's great. We did what you should do. We bought it after Christmas, right? So then you get the after Christmas, you throw it in your garage, and now it's brand new next year, and you got it $200 off. It's a great product. I just think we're on our last year of this particular tree. We also got one that was kind of junked up with fake snow and pine cones and stuff all over it. And those things are starting to fall off. So it's 3 years. And like I said, we got it for under $100. I think it was a perfect purchase.
Isn't that like wild how much a fake tree can cost?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
$100 is like a cheap.
That was the deal. That was the after Christmas deal.
It's too much. That's why I never end up pulling the trigger. I'm like, oh, this would be a lot easier than doing all the stuff I've been doing. And every single year, I'm like, ah,
I saw a Santa at a Christmas store that I frequent throughout the year. And I was like, this would be perfect. You put it at the door, right? It didn't talk or anything. It was just a Santa, a life-looking Santa. It's like, oh, this, you know, it's used. This thing's what, maybe $100? $450. It's like, I love Christmas, but my cheapness does eventually creep into my love for Christmas.
How many tchotchkes do you have for the Christmas season?
Oh, I mean, I'll have to take pictures. I mean, we have, for everything that's bare the rest of the year, it is junked up with Christmas stuff. We have stuff for our wine cart, our welcome table, for our, like I said, the thing that hangs over the kitchen counter. We have the tree. Around the tree, you have the ornaments. We have stuff for our coffee table. And that's just in our apartment.
You get the whole thing. I try and like get, every year we bring up the totes and we're throwing stuff out.
Every year?
Yeah, every year.
So something
stuff
last year you thought you wanted, you don't want it this year?
No, because all of our stuff is just accumulated from, it's like our parents' house. Like, we have bought hardly, the only things we bought are the lights that have gone outside and the little things that hang from the window. Like I said, like $40. Everything else is just from other, and you know, every Christmas, people are giving you some sort of Christmas decoration as gift. So every year, like, we bring up all this stuff. We don't put half of it out. It's just stuff that we've gotten from family or through the years, you know, like acquired somehow. And every year we're looking at it and just this out of here, out of here, out of here, out of here. So we're going to end up with a tree. That's it in the house soon enough.
Again, you won't be surprised by this. Every year we're adding totes.
Yeah.
Every year we're adding stuff like this fit in October. Why is it not fitting now in January?
There will be no more storage compartments bought. Period.
Oh. This is the only time of year we can park the car in the garage because our Christmas stuff takes up so much space.
Oh, my goodness. You have so much Christmas stuff. Can't park in the garage.
You've got Christmas mats. You've got Christmas ornaments. And like I said, you've got something for the welcome table, the wine cart, the tree. It all takes up space throughout the year. Oh, the wreath takes up space throughout the year.
It's a lot of stuff.
You got a holder for all of it. But this year we won't have that space taken, Brian, because if things go the way I think they're going to go, that tree will be in the garbage can. And if we buy a tree after Christmas, it'll be still in the nice box until next year. So that won't take up as much space. Because after you open that tree box.
Oh, you don't reuse it? You can cram it in there.
No, I have a very nice tree bag to keep it all preserved. The fake tree.
Preserve it. Like, it's a fake tree.
So, and we put it on the hook in the back of the garage.
Stays watered and fed the year.
Preserved in the cold weather.
Oh, you jam that thing back in the box. Mm. We still got the same box.
No.
Might be ripping at the seams, but it's in there.
You won't do that with a pre-lit tree. If you get a pre-lit tree, you will not do that. I guarantee.
It won't fit back in? It's like the 20-foot screen I bought, and I'm like, how did this fit in this little box?
You don't want to risk, you know, breaking a light on a pre-lit tree, because now it's ruined.
How fragile are these lights?
Just like any lights. If you're jamming the tree back into the box it came in.
Yeah, cram that thing in.
You want to keep the tree. Again, we have all that crap on this tree as well. So you want to keep the lights. You want to keep everything nice. So all you have to do is, see, this is the problem. You want to be able to just take it out of the tree, click, click, click. If you jam it back in the box, now you gotta put the branches back out and everything.
Well, yeah, that's how it goes away. That's how you can't like.
No, that's why you have the tree bag.
So you're not folding up the branches?
No.
Well, this is why you can't park your car in the garage. You can get a whole tree in there.
Well, you know.
Put it back in the box. It goes in a corner. You can park.
No. Tree bag. It's nice. And then it's a three-step.
Listen, I'll complain about, you know, having to do all the branches. It's a big pain. Once a year. Every day you're taking up space with this big tree. Just put it back in the box.
If we put our...
It comes apart for a reason.
If we put our minds to it, we could get a car in the garage after Christmas. It just takes a little work.
On the text board, someone's saying that real Christmas trees are costing $100 and up now. I, like, stunned at the way. I think this is why I'm a fake tree person almost for forever. Like, at some point, we'll go with the kids and, you know, go to a tree farm and cut it down. It'll be a nice little...
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Nice little moment, but that's a one and done thing. Like, it's the fake tree. Because trees are expensive.
Yep.
I think the lot around the corner from me that's usually up is over $75 for a tree. And that's not... You're not even doing the...
The Griswold tree.
The cut down, yeah. And, you know, the trip and all that kind of stuff. 75, you know, that's why I stay with the, you only get to use it once, and it just goes to the curb.
And I love the smell of a real tree, and it's not the exact same, but, you know, you just get a tree candle.
I was going to say, they make the spray.
Oh, yeah.
Spray it all over the tree.
They also have the little ornament. They look like nice ornaments, but they're scent of a real tree. We used to sell those at Bed Bath.
They sell those at Delta Sonic. That's a car air freshener.
No. It looks like an ornament, though. Like, it's not... Yeah, it looks like an ornament, but...
Doesn't look like a tree in
there. Right, yeah. It's not a tree hanging off a tree.
A tree on a tree. It's actually not a bad idea, though.
No?
I mean, I have ornaments that are like trees. What would another one be? This one just smells like new car.
Exactly. A nice scent into the house.
That could work for me. Well, anyway, you know, I got a... This tree is, again, it's still... I got a third of it in the stand, a third of it lying down next to the part that's in the stand. The other one's in the box. I just haven't gotten around to spread. Maybe tonight I'll spread some branches.
Get the Christmas music on? Oh, you don't have to have the... I like to have the ambiance of, hey, we're setting up the house now.
Nah. I'll do it when the kids are away. I'll have this podcast on. I'm going to go to WBEN.com, the podcast tab, B-Manson Beamer, and listen to me be the Grinch for an hour while I'm doing it.
Listen as much as you can, then we can bring those numbers to our boss. Look how many people are listening. Hey, before we get out of here, I just want to say good luck to the UB Bulls. They have their final game of the season tonight, and they can play spoiler if they beat Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan will not go to a bowl game. So good luck to the UB Bulls. Close out the season on a win. Close out the season 4-4 in the conference. Again, I think, you know, you're trying to get all the positives out of the season. Going 4-4 in the conference, there's a positive. Kicking Eastern Michigan out of a bowl game, there's another positive. So good luck to the UB Bulls tonight. Home game, if you can't make it, 7:30 on ESPN2 and on KB1520. David Bellavia is up next with 4 hours of fantastic programming, followed by Tom Bowerly, followed by Tom Puckett. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m., here on News Radio 930 WBEN.